4. Some would think that Philip enjoyed being the chairman of the Wizards, in spite of the busy schedule that came with the job. Philip would tell you that he enjoyed being chairman because of the busy schedule. Many people found this hard to understand, but those people hadn't actually seen the schedule. Philip rolled out of bed at his official residence, the same hut he'd lived in for the last 10 years. He stretched his back and regretted for the 1,000th time that he hadn't gained the ability to freeze the aging process until he was in his 40s, and predictably thick around the middle. He pulled some breakfast out of his hat and ate it in a bleary haze. When breakfast was done and he was mostly awake, Philip grabbed his wizard staff, put on his pointy hat and light blue robe, and commuted to work. Some days he'd make a show of flying to his shop in public, but today he simply teleported there. He had a full agenda and he wanted to get to it. He appeared in front of his building, entered right away, and walked through the storefront that was just there for show. He went straight through the seance room with its fake crystal ball. He climbed the staircase at the back of the building and reached his goal, the second story, which was decorated with the finest furnishings and entertainment devices that 1984 had to offer. He pushed a button on the massive Sony stereo, and the room quietly filled with the resonant sounds of the Alan Parsons Project. He walked to the chrome and white plastic bar and looked at his official schedule. Item 1. Get up. Done. Item 2. Eat breakfast. Done. Item 3. Think up some busy work and delegate it to a wizard who'll make a lot of noise about it. Philip thought for a moment about the busy work and about whom to make busy with it. His eyes drifted around the room, past his Commodore 64 computer, past the mint-condition Pontiac Fiero he kept inside as if it were a work of art. His gaze lingered on his original stand-up arcade Gorf cabinet. He remembered how he had carefully dismantled it and transported it back in time, one piece at a time. He saw the scratches around the cabinet's coin box, and remembered seeing Magnus, the younger of the two wizards who resided in Norway, trying to pry it open. That answered the question of who, but he still needed to think of a what. After a few moments, he called Magnus on what the wizards euphemistically called the hand phone. He raised his right hand in front of his face, as if imitating a Shakespearean actor reciting the Alas, Poor Yorick speech. Philip said,
"Communiqui cun Magnus tu."
Almost instantly, Philip's raised hand was filled with Magnus's placeholder icon, a flickering, semi-transparent image of the devil sticking out his tongue. The demon's left hand held the neck of a white, V-shaped guitar. The other hand was making a devil horns gesture.
"It's redundant for the devil to make devil horns," Philip thought. "He could just point at his horns and send the same message."
Finally, the image of the devil was replaced with a bleary-eyed Magnus. Clearly, Philip had woken him. The image of Magnus's head said,
"Hey, Philip."
"Good morning, Magnus. How's Magnus?"
Philip replied. Magnus's best friend was also a wizard who lived in Norway, who was also named Magnus.
"It's Magnus," Magnus answered. "You know what I mean?"
"I think I do."
"What's up?"
Philip said.
"Official business, I'm afraid. As you know, I am now the chairman of the wizards."
"Well, yeah, I voted for you. It was only 2 months ago."
Philip smiled.
"Right. Well, I've decided that we need to take a census."
"A census?"
Magnus said, clearly thinking he'd misunderstood.
"Yes. We need to count and list every wizard in Europe,"
Philip explained patiently. Magnus squinted and said,
"But Phil, you know every wizard in Europe."
"Well, that's the thing," Philip said. "I think I do. We both think we do, but we can't be sure. For all we know, David out in Russia might know another wizard who we never mentioned because he assumed we already knew about him."
Magnus kept on squinting.
I guess that's true. Why are you calling me?
Here we go, Philip thought. Magnus, I'd like for you to make a list of all the wizards in Europe that you know of.
Magnus nodded and said,
Okay, I can do that.
Good, Philip said. Then I want you to call every wizard on that list and ask them to make the same list.
Magnus's eyes widened.
You want me to call everyone?
Yeah, Philip said brightly. It's not like I'm asking you to go see them in person.
Yeah, I suppose not,
Magnus agreed, grudgingly.
Unless someone comes up with a wizard you've never heard of, then I want you to go track them down and get their information.
What kind of information?
You know, who they are, where they're from, where they found the file, the basics.
How soon do you need this, Philip?
Oh, there's no particular rush. A couple of days, I guess.
Magnus sucked his teeth, then said,
That's fine if there are no new wizards. If I do have to hunt someone down, I'll need more time. Can I have a week?
Philip looked disappointed, but said,
Of course, Magnus, if that's how long it takes.
They said their goodbyes, and Philip turned his attention back to the list. Item 3. Think up some busy work and delegate it to a wizard who'll make a lot of noise about it. Done for the week. On to item 4. Item 4. Do whatever you like for the rest of the day. Philip played some Gorf, then settled into his most comfortable chair to read his dog-eared copy of Catch-22. He had been reading for about an hour when he heard the noise. It wasn't an inherently alarming noise. It sounded like someone at the foot of his staircase had rung a crystal bell. The sound shook Philip down to his bones, since he didn't own a crystal bell. And due to his magical security measures, it shouldn't have been possible for anyone to be at the foot of his stairs. Philip put down his book, grabbed his staff, and carefully crept to the head of the staircase. Carefully, he peered down into the distance below, and was thoroughly confused by what he saw there.